Nostalgia is a beautiful feeling because whenever you feel nostalgia, it always brings you back to a place in time where you were either with a family member or a significant other, and you guys were doing a certain thing. So let's say for me, you know, when I was a kid and my mom used to take me on car rides, there were certain songs that would be played on the radio that take me back to that time. Or let's say even as I continued to get older in high school, there were certain songs that were being played in my rotation that take me back to that time. So for today's episode, Lou and I brought in around like 7 to 8 different songs that are going to make you feel nostalgic and that are going to take you back in time and kind of put you in a different place. And guys, if this is your first time listening to our audio experience, we are uploading every single Tuesday a new episode. This is, you know, one of many. I believe we're at like 60 different episodes at this point, you know, somewhere near there. So thank you guys so much for the recent love on this. If you guys have been listening to us for a while, and we will continue to do episodes like this every single Tuesday. But Lou, what comprised of, let's say, your selections, you know, like what went into the thought process?
Well, yeah, it's super interesting to talk about nostalgic songs just because you could find music that is dipped in nostalgia, maybe because it has a dreamy vocal sample, maybe it's because it has a children choir or something that feels from an older era, even though it's modern. Like, there's that aspect to look at it where it's like within the actual sonics, it makes you feel nostalgic. Or the bigger part of it is like, what makes you personally feel nostalgic? Because a song that makes me feel nostalgic might not make you feel nostalgic, right? It's all dependent on like the memories that you have attached to the songs, where you were in your life. And I feel like music could almost act like a photograph or like a video from the past where it's like you listen to that song and it literally takes you back to a time and place in your life
that
you have fond memories
of.
So
I didn't want to bring
it. Yeah, I have kind of a mix of that where it's like some songs I don't necessarily have like the deepest memories attached, but others I do.
A lot of my songs that I brought in are actually from the 2000s. Well, released in that time frame.
You know what's funny is that I have shit from like the 80s and 70s too.
I do as well, absolutely. Yeah. But that's going to comprise of most of my list, if I'm being honest with you. A lot of the stuff that I also brought in today is stuff that my father and my mother were playing around me, or my aunts and uncles, whatever the case may be. A lot of this stuff, you know, holds a very close place to my heart, and that's why I love it so much. So, yeah. Louis, want to go in with your first recommendation?
First recommendation for me, I'm going to take it a bit newer. I'm going to go with Show Me by Joey Badass. Came out in 2022, of course, off of the 2000 album. And I could have chosen a bunch of songs off the 2000 album just because at the end of the day, like, the whole album is meant to be nostalgic because he tried to recapture the vibe of 1999, which that mixtape itself played into the nostalgia of 90s boom bap. So there's a lot of like nostalgic ties to Joey's music from these two projects. And this song itself features a sample from Montreal-based indie band Man I Trust. And it's their song called Show Me How. And what's interesting is that there's something within the sample that feels euphoric, feels breezy. It makes you think back to like the one that got away romantically. Even like, despite if you live through that kind of an experience or not, it makes you feel that
that's
way.
That's a bad feeling.
It does.
Name me a worse feeling than that, you know? Like,
the one that got away?
Romantically.
Romantically, yeah. There's no worse feeling than that.
The one that got away, you
that's
know?
Like, yeah, bro. You could regret that for a lifetime, bro.
Do you think that's worse than getting cheated on?
Ooh.
What would you... Yeah, that's a crazy conversation to have.
That probably is worse because, like, if you get cheated on, it's easier to move on because you could be like, well, this wasn't the right person for me, right? They didn't treat me right.
Yeah, it's going to sting maybe a bit
better.
More.
It stings a bit more in the moment, but not over time. When it comes to the one that got away, that could be a lifetime of regret, bro. It's like, well, if I tried to work things out, maybe I could have had a whole different
maybe
life.
Maybe a bit more patient, like whatever the
case
may
bro.
Be. Yeah, that's
I think it is worse.
It definitely is.
But yeah, speaking about the song, like I said, it feels euphoric. The vocalist, Emmanuel, is singing about like missing the affection and love that she once received from a lover. And Joey is just giving you smooth raps. The Lover is a song that feels very genuine. It has a lot of heart. And he has some nice sung melodies towards the end. So ultimately, this is kind of two recommendations in one because I do suggest that you guys check out Show Me How, the original. And there's actually a great NPR performance on YouTube. Just write Men I Trust NPR, and it's the first song on the video. So shout out to Joey for always giving us amazing throwbacks, musically speaking. So that's the first rec for me.
All right. Let me keep going on with this. Let me go into my first recommendation. This is going to be Bubba O'Reilly by The Who. Yeah, if you want to feel nostalgic, like, how aren't you going to feel this, you know? If you can't feel nostalgic while listening to this, I don't think you'll be able to feel nostalgic with any other song, to be honest with you. The way that the guitar chords come in and just, like, the way that the synthesizers start off the song. It's really a special song itself. And what's interesting is that the song itself, I believe, is inspired by a couple of different things. Apparently, it was inspired by a monk called Meher Baba.
Huh.
And then after that, another, I believe, American composer called Terrence Mitchell, who was Terry Riley. And like that's how they formed the name together. There's a cool backstory behind the song itself. But, you know, just talking about how, like, the youth is in like a wasteland, and you know, it's just, it's such a song that takes you back in time, because I wasn't even born in the 70s, but the song was dropped in 1971, the year that my father was born. So all the years later, you know, when obviously, you know, my mother conceived me and I was fucking, you know, a little toddler running around the garage, and my father would be like, let's say, working at his workstation, he used to have like this Sony boombox, and he would have a cassette tape. And when he'd put it in, this would be one of the first songs that would come on. And like, imagine, you know, you're back in like 2005, sunny outside, birds are chirping. You know, my mom's upstairs like making me like scrambled eggs and pancakes. I just finished. I come down. I'm going to play street hockey with the boys.
Yep.
You know, my dad's working in the garage and he's just absolutely blasting this. Like, life cannot have been better at that moment, you know. So that's why I really wanted to bring it in. And obviously, if you've never heard this song, like, please do yourselves a service and put it on right now. Actually, stop this audio podcast and just
yeah, if you've somehow never heard Baba O'Reilly, that's a must. It's absolute must listen. But yeah, let me go with my next one. So I have Alive by Empire of the Sun.
Oh,
came
yes,
out in 2013. And Empire of the Sun obviously makes electronic music. But it's like almost, if there was a genre of music called like nostalgic music, they would be at the forefront of it, because not only is this song nostalgic, but of course they have Walking on a Dream. Mm-hmm. They have We Are the People. Like, practically almost their entire catalog feels nostalgic when you listen to it. And for me, It also holds a lot of nostalgia, because this was part of the FIFA 14 soundtrack, and that was a game that I had so many fond memories of, playing with friends online, playing with my brother, finishing school, coming home, whipping in the CD, and just fucking spending hours junking the game. And this was the song that I was always the happiest to hear come on,
yeah,
out
crazy.
Of the whole soundtrack. It's a lush synth pop song. You have these childlike chants, an upbeat instrumental, and it's just a feel-good song that reminds you of your childhood. You know, it reminds you of sunshines and rainbows when you had no worries in life. That's sort of the best way to put it.
Oh, it's a beautiful song.
So I wanted to bring that one in. What do you got next?
All right, what do I got next? I have Everlong by Foo Fighters. This is
okay.
A big one. I
don't know it off top.
Oh,
I for sure have heard it, but
let me play
2 seconds of it.
Are you kidding me or what?
Everlong, Foo Fighters.
You've never heard this song?
I don't know it by title. I for sure have heard it, but let's see. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is a big song for me. So, you know, just even going back to the 2000s, like, a lot of this stuff was playing, because this was actually released in 1997, and this song was actually created by Foo Fighters member David Grohl. And basically what had happened was that he was going through a nasty divorce. He ended up going back home for the holidays, and he was staying at a friend's house, and he was mindlessly playing with his guitar, and then he had gotten the inspiration to be able to write Everlong. And it's a beautiful, like, romantic post-grunge alternative rock sort of song that has a deep connection to me, because I used to hear this song a lot. Let's say when I was at my cousin's houses back then, and just, you know, going back all these years later, it brings like a different type of creative spark for me, because it brings me back to my childhood. And David Grohl, when talking about the song, had this to say about it. He said, "The song's about a girl that I fall in love with, and it was basically a song about being connected to someone so much that not only you love them physically and spiritually, but when you sing along with them, you harmonize perfectly." So it's beautiful from a songwriting, you know, perspective. And, you know, David Grohl is basically talking about, "I'll wait for you forever. It doesn't matter if you're wherever you are, whatever you're doing, I will be here, and like, I will do whatever it takes to be able to be with you." So it's a beautiful message for a song, and it's arguably their best ever song at that.
In the context of the writing, is it an ex that he's waiting to get back with, or
no? It's kind of like a gray area sort of thing.
Okay, I see.
You know, it's like there's definitely something there, but it's kind of like he's waiting, you know, and he's playing the waiting game with it. And
that's a tricky game.
That's a fucking trip. Trust me, it's a very tricky fucking game. So, you know, just a beautiful song, and I absolutely love it. The guitar strings that come through at the beginning, it just sets the whole tempo off for the song. It's an absolute must listen.
Let me ask you this. Like, do you feel like, because when we were younger, obviously, our taste in music and like what we had in rotation was a bit more vanilla, because it was based on, like, you know, whatever.
Radio play.
Radio play, shit like that. Like, do you think that that like led like a lot of the songs that you feel are the most nostalgic in your life to be a bit more mainstream? Because I kind of feel that way too, where
to a certain extent,
a lot
absolutely.
Of them are like a bit more known, you could say.
Like example, like one of my favorite songs of all time and of one that my father used to play me all the time is Go by Asia. You know, and I don't even think that's on streaming. You know, if it is, it's like, I'm not even sure if it passed 50,000.
Let's see if it's a top stream, the song for them.
Go by Asia. Yeah, Asia, and this never really got the radio play back then because this was released.
I don't think like they were ever like that big to begin with, right?
Of course they were, bro. They yeah? sold out the Olympic Stadium.
Oh, that's pretty huge.
Nah, bro.
What'd you say it's called, sorry?
Go by Asia.
No, their most streamed song is Heat of the Moment.
Yeah, but Asia, I believe they have a crazy charts record. My father was telling me. I'd have to you ask my father. We're gonna finish this recording, we'll ask him after, but
yeah,
regardless though, yeah, I kind of get what you're saying though. It's because when you're younger, that's all you're exposed to, but I feel like back then there was better radio music than
there was much better radio music for and I'm sure. gonna get to that a bit later on, but next song is gonna be another rap song for me. This is gonna be Grown Up by Danny Brown. Came out in 2012, was never featured on an album, and this is funny to have here for me just because it's the least Danny Brown song that was ever made by Danny Brown. Like, production-wise, it sounds like you're hearing a beat that was made by, like, A Tribe Called Quest. You have, like, these old Primo-esque disc scratches, and you're like, how the fuck is Danny Brown rapping over a beat like this? It was just so traditional to, you know, the roots of the genre. So it's definitely, like, you could tell within the lyrics of the song, like, this was a nostalgic song for him, and he wanted to rap over a sonic landscape that would have been nostalgic for him. And the song is about like him making it in life as a rapper. And what's interesting is that like it's pretty much a rags to riches tale and how like he never would have thought that he would have became a rapper later on in life. And what's interesting too, and the part of the song that really hits me the most and makes me connect, is when he has the line that says, "Rushing out of kids just to be grown up," which is so relatable for me because like I remember being a kid and always wanting to be an adult, like always wanting to grow up quick. I remember being like fucking 7 years old and like seeing my brother with braces and being like, well, okay, well, he's older than me, he has braces, I guess that means that you're growing up in the world now. Shout I want fucking braces, you know what I mean? So throughout my life, that was a big thing, always wanting to like speed the time that you have as a kid to get to that moment when like you're a teenager now. Oh, now you're 18. And then it's like, the older you get, the more you want to sort of like revert back to being a kid again. And
would you want to go back to your kid years if you had the option?
It's tough to say. I mean,
no, I don't.
Because you know what it is too? It's like adulthood is still like, it's still fresh for us. We're only like what, like fucking 6 years deep into it. Maybe like, maybe ask me again when I'm 40 and I'll have a different answer for you. But
I feel like,
as of now, like,
I feel like those moments are so sick because you have the mindset of a child, right? And you're kind of careless. If I went in with the mindset I had now,
yeah, it wouldn't be the same.
Be fucking awful.
Yeah,
you know?
it would be
fucking awful.
But no, obviously it'd be in the hypothetical where it's like you're getting a restart.
You get to relive those years back.
Without the mindset you have now.
I kind of did it already. You know?
That's it. Exactly.
So you can't really look back and be like, oh, well, I wish I could go back.
But that's sort of the concept of the song, is like him, I guess, missing those times. And there's a cool sample of an old Gorillaz song called Tomorrow Comes Today. And it's cool to see Danny Brown talk about his own evolution as a person, as an artist, and how far he came over the years. So, like I said, it's a song unlike any other Danny Brown song. So if you're listening to this and you're like, well, fuck that, I'm not a Danny Brown fan, trust me, give it a chance because it's very different compared to what he's done before.
All right, let me keep going on with this. Let me go on to my next one. This is going to be No One by Alicia Keys.
Okay,
Released back in 2007. How could you not feel nostalgic? Bro, this was everywhere. Like, especially from like 7 to like 10 years old, when you're starting to understand things a bit more and like you're in the car and you're paying attention now and you're understanding certain things. It's just, it's such a beautiful fucking song.
Probably one of my favorite choruses ever.
Oh, it's incredible. Just absolutely infectious. What's cool too is that when Alicia Keys had spoken about writing the song, she had just said that it came so naturally, and how she had said that the song basically wrote itself. And, you know, it's arguably her best ever song, if you're really being realistic about it. It's definitely up there. It's one of the most successful R&B songs of all time. It has sold over 5.6 million copies worldwide, so you couldn't escape it. And that's why I wanted to bring it in today, is that my mother was such a big fan of this song as well. And when she would drive me around, or we used to go for checkups, or she used to drive me to school, you couldn't escape it, you know? And I've loved this song from the moment that I heard it, and it was just absolutely infectious. And basically, the song is about not being separated by anything with your lover, being locked in, talking about how people would travel the world to be able to have the opportunity just to have a lover like that and to be able to be so interconnected and, you know, intertwined with someone. So it's such a beautiful message. And I love the faith that comes from it. You know, Alicia Keys' vocals are so raw. They're passionate. Even the way that she starts off the song, it's such a great fucking track. So I wanted to bring that into
this. This was what, late 2000s?
2007 it had released. Yeah. It topped the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 for 5 consecutive weeks as well.
Smash.
Yeah, smash it. Smash it. And a little fact, it was the most successful song in Brazil in 2007.
Shout of out the year?
Shout out Brazil.
Shout out Brazil, yeah. But yeah, speaking about the 2000s, I have a song coming up that is a year before that. It's 2006. It's going to be I Want to Love You by Akon featuring Snoop Dogg. This is classic Akon. And this song was running shit on my iPod shuffle back in the day. But like, that song must have gone diamond on my fucking shuffle for how many times I played it. And I also played songs like bro, this generation of kids did not know what it was like growing up listening to like Akon and T-Pain, like those kings of like auto-tune R&B. Like, bro, those guys held shit down when it came to birthday parties, weddings, communions.
You can't bring in an episode. Okay, hold on. Song title again. I'll go on to Genius.
I Want to Love You, Akon. Yeah. What a classic,
could you
bro.
Just play,
like,
could you play like
a little... Want to play like through the first beginning section?
Yeah, go for it.
This is the one for me, bro. Like,
originally titled I Want to Fuck You.
Yeah. They wanted to clean it up.
They wanted to clean it up, eh, for the radio? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Victor.
Music. Classic. But yeah, I remember going to my cousin's communion and it was in a hall. And
they played this.
This is what it was. No, so we were in our communion hall for my cousin, and then like me and my cousin would always like sneak out of the hall, like fucking do our own thing, fuck around, and like we had ended up randomly like crashing a wedding that was next door. And we walked into the wedding, everyone's looking at us, and like this song was playing. And I just remember it being such a crazy night. Like we went into that hall, and then we ended up going outside. It was the first night I ever tried shisha. I tried like a green apple flavored shisha.
How old were you?
And I was like 13 or 14 years old. Anyways, point is, I have so many fond memories listening to this song on vacations at different events with family. And yeah, to this day, bro, it's such a cool song. You have Snoop Dogg like sort of cruising on the track as he's rizzing up a lucky lady. You got Akon hitting you with like these infectious melodies, and it's them just trying to pick up girls in the club. It's very like, you know, nonchalant, nice synth bounce to the beat. And shout out to Akon because he actually self-produced this.
Really?
He has full albums that he produced himself, which is pretty crazy. So yeah, this has always been a favorite of mine growing up.
All right, let me keep going on with this. Let me go to Everybody Wants to Rule the World by Tears of Fears.
Nice.
This is all nostalgic. And what's interesting about this song is that they actually didn't even fuck with the song itself. They said it was so out of their wheelhouse, and they said it was bland, but it's such an important part to music history.
They did it for the label?
Well, apparently... Roland Orzabal said, "The shuffle beat was alien to our normal way of doing things. It was jolly rather than square and rigid in the matter of shout," because obviously you listen to the song Shout from them, "but it contributed to the process of becoming more extrovert." So basically, like, you have an atypical shuffle beat. It's very fast-paced. It's very interesting as far as our production goes. But what people don't know about this song is that you can interpret it into different ways, right? Because everyone thinks it's very euphoric, it's very happy, talking about, like, self-expression and, like, you know, staying calm. But it's actually about, like, nuclear war. The song's about nuclear war.
I never knew that.
Yeah, so when That's you go crazy. Into the verse one, "Welcome to your life, there's no turning back. Even while we sleep, we will find you." It's talking about Big Brother. And, like, talking about how, like, the U.S. government is watching you. Then, like, acting on your best behavior, turn your back on Mother Nature, everybody wants to rule the world. Put two and two together, what are they talking about? Turn your back on Mother Nature.
I love songs like that have, like, hidden meanings and shit. Yeah.
It's such a jolly and beautiful song, and they're talking about nuking the world, which is absolutely crazy. Then there's a huge instrumental break, and then after that, you know, you get into the chorus. "I can't stand this indecision, married with a lack of vision. Say that you'll never, never, never need it. One headline, why believe it? Everybody wants to rule the world." It's fucking crazy. And if you look at the writing of the song itself, it's super simple.
It's very vaguely written, but once you know what it's about, it's everything clicks.
But absolutely. It is absolutely tied into this, but it's just dipped in nostalgia. Just going back to 1985 and being able to maybe listen to this for the first time would be such a treat for me. You know, even when, you know, people use like TikTok sounds, they use this song to like kind of show a flashback. So it definitely evokes an emotion of nostalgia. That's why I wanted to bring it in today.
Yeah, it's a great one. I mean, since we're in that era, let me go with a song that came out in 1978. This is going to be My Flame by Bobby Caldwell. And this is a song off of Bobby's self-titled album, which also, of course, featured What You Won't Do for Love. But I think we've brought in that into like multiple audio podcast recommendations already. So I wanted to go with a different song off of the same album. And song's instrumental, of course, is iconic because it was heavily sampled in Biggie's Sky's the Limit. And yeah, I love Bobby's performance. His tone is sad, it's melancholic, and yet his vocals are very delicate and they float over the instrumental, but they also feel very rich and full. It's a song about two once upon a time lovers that have now grown apart, and like Bobby is doing everything that he can in his power to reconnect with this lover. So again, it goes back to the theme of the other song I had mentioned, where it's about, you know, kind of the one that got away and trying to reconnect there. I love the laid back vibe of the song, bro. You have
beautiful song,
a chill electric guitar that comes in, and just there's a very positive essence within the song. Even though it's kind of dark subject matter, it feels light, it feels easy to listen to. And honestly, like, guys, check out the whole album if you haven't at this point. The whole album is beautiful, and it's some of my favorite soul music out of the late 70s for sure.
So,
there you go.
All right, let's keep going on with this. My next one is going to be Crazy by Gnarls Barkley, released back in 2006. One of the most nostalgic songs of all time for me, just because of how much my father loved this song. And if you guys are not familiar with Gnarls Barkley, it was the duo comprised of Danger Mouse and CeeLo Green. I don't know how the fuck I was forgetting CeeLo Green's name. But what's crazy is that, you know, apparently when, you know, Danger Mouse had first shown his A&R, this song, they knew right away. They knew all the way, like, it's going to be a generational song, yeah, and it's really going to take over. What's crazy is that the content matter for Crazy is quite interesting, because apparently when Danger Mouse was doing an interview, he had said that, "I somehow got off this tangent about how people won't take an artist seriously unless they're insane. So we started jokingly discussing ways in which we could make people think we were crazy. CeeLo took that conversation and made it into Crazy, which we recorded in one take," which is fucking crazy. So boom,
that's
magic
crazy.
Magic moment. But what's not to say about this? It's such a beautiful fucking song. You know, CeeLo Green's vocals that come in for the chorus, you know, the chords that come in throughout the song as well are infectious. It's really one of my favorite songs from the 2000s.
It's crazy how, like, sometimes you're just like, you know, you get to hear one idea or like one creative thought, and it sparks something inside of you that makes you just go off on a tangent. Like, I was watching an interview with Royce da 5'9" not too long ago, and he was saying, like, he was talking about the making of Boblo Boat off of
that's cool,
off of his album The Book of Ryan, and
that's a crazy J. Cole feature,
incredible feature. So apparently, like, the story behind it was that, like, J. Cole happened to be in Detroit. He needed a studio to record at, and he had been going back and forth with Royce about, like, just sharing each other's music, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So Cole hits up Royce just because he needs a studio to record at. He had to do a feature or whatever it was on the go. So he goes into Royce's studio, does what he has to do on his own, and then Royce just plays him, like, some shit that he already finished off of the album. Like, Boblo Boat was already done. He had his verse, whatever it was. And then J. Cole's like, give me a second here. Like, he heard the beat, he heard the verse, and apparently, like, he literally, like, immediately, like, I think Royce, as he was playing it, like, went to get a coffee or something. As he came back into the room, like, Cole was already in the booth, and, like, he dropped his verse, like, right then and there.
That's crazy.
So yeah, it's cool how
everything,
again,
is so spontaneous.
Things could be spontaneous, done in one take, and
magic can happen at a dime.
Creative burst, bro. I love that shit. But yeah, next recommendation for me, this is gonna be another hip-hop song. This is going to be Feel So Good by Mace. Came out in 1997. This is his signature song, and brings me joy every time I listen to it. You have these anthemic trumpets, you have some kick drums and bass, a very booming beat. And Mace's energy is on 10, bro. Like, he's super cocky throughout the whole song. He has his classic, like, slow lyrical drawl, and honestly, it's an amazing luxury song. We were recently doing content talking about luxury music, and I don't know how the fuck this didn't come into the equation, because it's really up there with top of the line luxury music. And of course, this was a big moment for Bad Boy because Maze had just broken through late 90s. And it's a feel good song that makes you feel like you're in Beverly Hills, living it up, the most opulent lifestyle that you could possibly have. And yeah, it just, it makes you think of like what a 90s club would have been like spinning this record when it came out. Like the scenes must have been crazy.
Do you want to bring anything from La Bouche at any point?
I could have. I didn't, though.
I expected you maybe to bring in some La
Bouche. I didn't, but yeah, maybe I should. Maybe I should talk about some La Bouche. But I mean, who knows? Maybe that could be a whole other episode on its own, talking about like just dance and club music, because that's sort of the essence of that. But yeah, Feel So Good by Mace, man.
Okay, let's keep going on with this. My next one is going to be Boulevard of Broken Dreams by Green Day, released back in 2004. A very nostalgic song for me. And the reason why is that I had a cousin that was a huge Green Day fan back then. And she would always be playing Green Day around us. She had their posters. You know, she was like in like your emo punk rock phase as well. So it was cool because I got to see the effect of Green Day like in real time with my family. And the reason why I love the song so much is because it was a fucking smash hit for them. And it's such a sick written song as well. So without spoiling too much for you guys, because, you know, this entire album by Green Day is kind of a concept album at that. By the way, this released back in 2004. The concept is fire because the main character of the album, the Jesus of Suburbia, finally gets down to the streets. And while he's walking around, you know, he comes down from his excitement in the album because he realizes that no one is stimulating him anymore, and he's walking amongst strangers, and he feels very empty while doing that. And I really enjoy that type of message because often, like, you know, you could put yourself on a pedestal, or maybe your ego could put you onto a different light, or whatever the case may be. And you could just see that, like, when you're really in it, and like you get to that point to where maybe no one recognizes you and you're kind of anonymous walking through the streets, there's a sort of peace that comes with that. But instead, this kind of bothers Jesus of Suburbia, and he's kind of like talking to himself, asking like, why aren't they able to bring me to my breaking point? You know, like he wants to feel stimulated again throughout the song. So that's a cool interpolation about it, because obviously it's a smash hit. It's Green Day's biggest ever song, arguably. And I think it's already sold over six
times platinum,
five million copies as of September 1st, 2009. So
I think American Idiot might be bigger, but yeah, it's definitely one of their biggest hits.
It's definitely up there as one of their biggest. So that was another one that was nostalgic for me as well.
Let me go back to the 70s, actually. Same year as My Flame by Bobby Caldwell. This is going to be Reminiscing by Little River Band. And just based off of the title itself, you could tell it's going to be a nostalgic song with a title like Reminiscing. And this is from an Australian rock band. They make fucking great music. I actually got put onto them from a movie. Obviously, I'm sure you've seen The Other Guys. Oh, I don't know if you remember The Other Guys, but Will Ferrell's like band that like brought him peace in that movie whenever he was stressed out or whatever the case may be. It was this band, and I ended up hearing this song through there. And the song is instrumental, is beautiful. It has a slow buildup of an acoustic guitar, some bass guitar, and then you have like some orchestral strings that bleed through. Very classy feel to it. And the song's concept is really about like the lead vocalist reminiscing over a date that he had with his woman, where during that date he was nervous about telling her that he wants to spend his life with her forever, and sort of like thinking back to like just the nerves, the excitement, all those emotions that came the night of that date. And he's sort of jumping into different time periods, because then when you get towards the latter end of the song, you sort of get the happy ending where like he ended up with his woman. And there's lines like, for example, each time we hear our favorite song, the memories come along. And that just wraps up the idea of like nostalgia and music so perfectly, where, again, you hear a song, the memories follow. And what's cool is that the band's very involved with like the actual vocals within the track, with the chorus. They're all singing along to it. Beautifully composed, beautifully sung. And yeah, this is one of those rock bands that I feel like just doesn't get as much attention or praise as they should, because they have a pretty solid catalog. I was impressed.
Absolutely.
I was impressed.
All right, let me go on to my last song for today, and this is going to be Clocks by Coldplay, released back in 2002. So as I promised, guys, a lot of 2000 stuff. And what's interesting about this is that the song opens up with like sort of like a, not a haunting piano melody, but it's a bit on the lower tone, and it's kind of take you to a different place. And what's cool is that the song takes you to a very special place thematically. So I'll read the synopsis of the song itself. The song concerns the paradox facing humanity, an obsession with time and punctuality versus a desire to savor every moment and seize the day. The lyrics speak to this universal existential crisis. And then when you look at the actual thing of like the clocks and the concept of it, you know, people are always trying to rush, or they're in a time and they're trying to savor their time, be as efficient as possible instead of savoring the moment. And it's sort of like kind of, you know, realizing let's take a step back and let's just actually enjoy what we have going on. So I absolutely love it for that. I also think that when I go back to the song itself, it was everywhere on the radio again around that 2000s time. I really tried to go back to the radio play stuff that I feel like I was connected to at an early age, especially when I was from that 5 to 10 age where I started to pick up on more and more stuff. It's absolutely crazy. Chris Martin's falsetto vocals are incredible throughout the song itself. And it's one of my favorite songs from Coldplay all these years later. And it was a smash hit for them. It got Record of the Year at the 2004 Grammys as well. Little side note on there. So that's going to be my last recommendation for today, ladies and gentlemen.
My last one's going to be a Mac Miller song. So I went I Love Life, Thank You. Came out in 2011. Sick song. And I feel like, obviously, when you're looking at like his most nostalgic project, everyone's going to go back and say Kids. And I share that same sentiment. But this was from that Kids era, Best Day Ever era, you could say. And then the mixtape was released once Mac Miller had hit a million followers on Twitter. And this was sort of like a surprise thank you mixtape before his debut album. And this song is the opening track of the tape. It's a self-titled one. And very nostalgic because, of course, you know, you have Mac Miller in his frat rap bag. But even though it's in the frat rap bag, the bars are clever. The beat is wavy. You have a hypnotizing vocal loop from a female that adds a nostalgic feeling. Mac's mic presence and cadences are super exciting. Mm-hmm. As they tend to be from that era. Super solid performance. And I love the carefree energy from Mac Miller. He just has that energy of being a teenager. And it's funny because I feel like knowing where Mac Miller ended up, like you can listen to almost any of his younger shit and feel nostalgic just because of how much younger he sounds, his style of rapping.
Yeah,
just
it's much different.
Just his older sound itself is nostalgic. And what's cool is that, you know, he has lines in here like, "Hey, yo, this is where the hook be, but I ain't got no hook, you pussy." Like, he's really just having fun with the song, being carefree and having a good time. And that sums up what a lot of people sort of experienced as teenagers, having that sort of carefree attitude. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, beautiful, nostalgic song.
Shout out to the childhood.
Yeah, man.
Shout out to the childhood. Yeah, it was a great time making this episode. But guys, let me know in the Q&A, what's your, I guess, how do I word this?
The song that makes you feel the most nostalgic.
Yeah, let me know in the Q&A, guys. Thank you so much for listening to this audio episode, and we'll catch you next Tuesday. Peace.